It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, the perfect place for that game day snack. And you'll want some snacks for this Sunday. Should be a good one. To talk about it, we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telitz. JT, how you doing today?
Doing fine. Have 1,000 bags of candy ready for the trick-or-treaters on Sunday night after the Browns-Steelers game.
Yeah, can't wait for trick-or-treat. You know, I'm not too old to dabble in some candy still myself. A little too old to dress up and all that. But, you know, right. I'll still dive into some candy. So, hey, you know, we're recording this. You know, we got to peel the curtain back here. We're recording this this one on a Wednesday because we may find out the starting status or lack thereof, I guess, for quarterback Baker Mayfield in Sunday's game. So let me pose this question to you, JT. Now that we've seen a week of Case Keenum, is a fully healthy Case Keenum, in your eyes, better than a banged-up Baker Mayfield? And again, you know, maybe Baker doesn't even know how, quote, injured he truly is. But in your eyes, which is the better of the two there?
Well, obviously, Baker is more talented. He is the starting quarterback.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, as we record this, there were indications from sources in the media prior to Wednesday's practice that Baker was going to give it a go, and we're recording this before practice, so we're not certain if that came to fruition or if it's a case of the Browns saying, maybe it's best just to wait another week and see if things settle down even more with his shoulder. So we're kind of in virgin territory, if you will. But back to your question, you know, Baker, fully healthy, obviously it's a no-brainer. But I think in the case of a week-to-week basis here, and no pun intended using the word case, it was great for last week. I thought the Browns, even though they won by 3 points, they played in such a fashion all around to the point where they were not, I didn't think they were in danger in this contest. He was fully in command. He doesn't have the arm strength that Baker does, you know, on a one-to-one basis, if you will, healthy to healthy. But for the purposes of this discussion, I don't think it would be horrific in any stretch of the imagination to give Case the start this week. I know there's two tremendous defenders on that he would see up close and personal, let's say, in Hayward and T.J. Watt, versus you know, what he saw last week against Denver. You know, the Steelers at 3-3, they are what they are. They got a dink and dunk old quarterback right now, but I would think it would probably be prudent, and it would make more sense if they gave Baker another week. That would be two games that he's missed, and maybe they even go into the conversation of putting him on the injured reserve so he misses that third game and then is eligible to come back. And you know something, Rocco? I've seen a lot of this conversation about this so-called little dent that he has, or a fracture that he called it to Jay Glazer, at the top of his humerus bone, if you will. And there is this one guy, doctor on Twitter, you probably have watched his videos, who Dr. Chow, who breaks these things down.
Yeah.
And he made it seem as if it would not be a horrific thing to have him try to play through it. He feels if he's got the strength, more strength around the joint there and wears the harness, that, you know, there still would be a chance for more injury, obviously, because nothing's 100% or never say never. But it could be a case of where he could get by with playing it. But I would be more prudent. That's the way I would go. And Case did a nice job last week, and let him have the reins on Halloween against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And boy, you'd be kicking yourself if Baker were to get blindsided by a Cam Hayward or a T.J. Watt, and he just takes, you know, a real, you know, career-risking injury, you know, again to that shoulder. I'm with you, JT. I just think you take the extra precaution here. You know, he's your long-term answer at quarterback, or at least that's the assumption. I just, you know, don't risk things any further with him.
Yeah, and let me also say he could injure it. I mean, we saw an Indians outfielder injure his shoulder in the same kind of a fashion when Baker did the week before last, when he fell with his arm extended. And that's how, with your body weight coming down on that left shoulder, that's where you can get more of an instance where if you continue to injure this thing, then you're affecting that rotator cuff, and then that's just a whole bag of horrors that you're opening up for yourself. So it just seems like it would be more prudent. And I know, you know, Baker coming into the news conference before they actually shut him down, saying, you know, I know when I can play and nobody can tell me when I can play, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, but the medical people and the coaches, they're the ones that make those decisions, not Baker Mayfield.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, elsewhere on the injury front, JT, you sent me a couple of names here on our pre-show rundown here. Nick Chubb, Jack Conklin in there, Denzel Ward as well. I mean, this team, I mean, the injury bug has just been vicious so far this year. Who else might we be able to expect back on the field on Sunday?
Well, I think we're going to have to watch Ward. We're going to have to watch DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones, this week because he injured his hammy in the pregame warm-up for the Broncos game. Denzel getting injured and, you know, not being able to play as much in that game, not the ideal scenario. I think Greedy came in and played the last 13 to 15 snaps for him. You do have Greedy available to play as the starting one of the starting corners. But Chubb potentially coming back, we'll see how the week goes, and Jack Conklin, it would be huge. You've got Jedrick Wills, who admitted that he really should not have played in week two, and Jedrick Wills now by this case coming back, getting those 10 days after he played the other night and played well. That is the situation where I have to admit to you, I'm trying to talk to you in a straight face, and my son is outside the car where I'm using as a studio here, remote, and he's trying to make me laugh. And he's doing a pretty good job of it. Where was I? Anyway, Conklin is very, not crucial, but Conklin coming back with the TJ Watts of the world to worry about and what have you, that would be a scenario that would be more comforting to the Browns brass. And let me just throw something else here. You know, Baker playing or Baker not playing. If you had Landry in that lineup and knew you had him there at your disposal and Baker Mayfield were contemplating playing, the Browns would never make this decision, one guy based on the other guy per se. But, boy, that would be a nice security blanket if Baker did play and you knew you had Jarvis Landry in there on almost every snap, because that would just, you know, be a guy that you know you can, you know where he's going to be. You have that comfort level with them, the chemistry, and that would maybe take away some of those instances where he'd be panicking a bit and taking off, and then all kinds of bad stuff happens when you take off.
John Telich is our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. You know, JT, the defense has gotten a lot of flack this season, and maybe rightfully so. But two guys who have really stepped up in recent weeks, at least in my mind, Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, really kind of carrying the defense with the play they're able to create from that edge position. So what do you make of those two so far?
Yeah, certainly the combination, the amount of sacks that they have between them, but the pressures are pretty good. And, you know, Pro Football Focus rates the top guys at each position, and we're just talking edge rushers, which is what those two guys are. And Garrett leads in Pro Football Focus's metrics, if you will, in pressures of edge rushers. He's number one in the league and number three in the league. I think this is with 100 snaps or more. Number three in the league is Jadeveon Clowney. So that's nice to see. And then, you know, you can take it one step further. You're going up against the Steelers. Obviously, Big Ben's passes can get knocked around here and there. You've got some tall guys with long arms in the two Malik's, in Malik Jackson and Malik McDowell. So that's not a bad combination to have going into Steeler week facing Ben Roethlisberger and what they pose for you on an offensive side of the ball.
Well, so let's dive into that Sunday matchup, JT. What do you make of the Pittsburgh Steelers? They sit at 3-3. They're coming off their bye week. They got two wins in a row heading into that bye week, coming off that 1-3 start. But as you've mentioned a couple times, Big Ben still not looking like the Big Ben of old. He is looking old, I should say. So what are we to make of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, first of all, he doesn't have very good ball security this year. He's lost three fumbles. You know, he's got seven touchdowns, four picks, just kind of eh. He still dinks and dunks. He doesn't have that arm to go, or the patience, I think, in the pocket. Can't move around the way he used to. can't fight people off, gets run down by the defenders. So there is certainly an opportunity if they don't come out just firing on 1.5 seconds for the Browns edge rushers and rushers in general to get at him. They're also dealing at 3-3 and coming off a bye. That's one thing I want to think about, because the Browns, we all know what happened with the Browns a year ago when they came off their bye, how much rejuvenated they were. They self-scouted themselves. They found out areas that were good at and they were not good at, and they accentuated the positive, and they came out and were much better after the bye. This is the Steelers having a bye fairly early in the season. They played 6 games. They've got a bye. The Browns had a mini bye, but they played 7 games, and their real bye isn't until early December. And here's something else. This is kind of weird. Mike Tomlin, the rumors that were floated out there about USC, he shot them down. He was like a sniper in a tower. He shot those suckers down like immediately. And we'll see if there's any lingering effect. I would assume not. Pittsburgh's pretty buttoned up as a franchise. They're, you know, one of the more stable, secure franchises in football. One guy to watch is the rookie Harris, the running back. Mm-hmm. He is actually, you know, doing a pretty good job receiving the ball out of the backfield. It's going to be very interesting to see what he can do against the Browns defense this week. And, again, the changes we may see in the Browns defense. I know last week we didn't see as much of that three safety look for the Browns. They played more of two safeties, and I would think the Browns defense certainly is set up this week against the Steelers to perform well, because the Steelers, with Ben Roethlisberger just not being able to be that effective. So,
Browns looking for 3 wins in a row against the Steelers on Sunday in Cleveland. Should be a good one. JT, thanks for breaking that one down here with me. Quickly, before we get out of here, high school football playoffs. Week one of the postseason getting started, getting underway. I know there are some people kind of poo-pooing this week one because of the 16-team per region format, but I think there's some good matchups around the area.
There are, and first of all, with the 16th playing the ones, that's going to be a scenario that's going to be it's virgin territory for us, right, Rocco?
Yeah.
I mean, we really don't know how it's going to be. Out your way, there's Bay, Holy Name on Friday. Ed's against Lorraine. That's the proverbial, you know, super-duper high seed against super low seed. And, Lorraine getting into the playoffs by virtue of that one win. And that's a product of the system where 16 teams make it into the playoffs each region. And in Division I, Region I, there are 17 teams, so all but one made it. Valley Forge and Olmsted Falls, among the 3 games that I know our attention will be on Friday night due to Friday Night Touchdown. And a program reminder for high school football fans, I know we have lots of folks that do watch the show, and we appreciate it a lot at Channel 8. We'll be on late on Friday night because of World Series game number 3 between the Braves. Yeah, Braves and the Astros. That's an 8:09 first pitch on Fox. And sorry to say, folks, but Major League Baseball has not gotten the memo that sports events have to be less than 4 hours. It's really disgusting. If I may editorialize a little bit. There.
Shots fired at Major League Baseball from John Telich. Wow, I like it. That dang World Series always getting in the way of something, huh?
Yeah, that doggone World Series. Son of a gun.
Well, I'll quickly plug our 3 games on WEOL this Friday night. It'll be Elyria, Cleveland Heights on the radio in Stream 1. On Stream 2, it's Toledo, St. John's at Avon Lake. And on Stream 3, Berea Midpark at Brunswick. So there's our games on WEOL. But again, Steelers-Browns from Cleveland this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Again, the Brownies looking for 3 wins in a row over that team in Pennsylvania. So, JT, I appreciate you taking the time to break that one down with me. Thank you again, as always, and have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up some more next week.
We will, and everybody have a great weekend and a safe Halloween.